G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, thanks to those that have been booking in with me for the private one-on-one coaching. It's been very uplifting and it's been so great to help so many people in such a short space of time. If you do want to get some one-on-one coaching and some advice from me, you're just struggling a bit, or you might want to get going, or you might have a few issues in maintenance, come and have a chat to me. You can do that in private by going to the website www.thefastinghighway.com, click on coaching, get help, and book a time with me. All times you see will be in your local time zone and a relevant charge is there. That's www.thefastinghighway.com to book in for the private one-on-one coaching with me. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 156. And just before I get started today, I just wanted to wish everybody around the world a very happy new year. And I hope all your dreams and aspirations come true in 2023 and to reach your health goals that you seek. Also, folks, if you are interested in joining our Facebook community, The Fasting Highway, you can do that. We've got some 8,000 people there from all over the world. They're there any time of the day or the night, any time zone. If you need some help or you have a question or you need a helping hand, that's the Facebook group, The Fasting Highway. Okay, folks, let's get on to today's podcast. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Mandy Ponte. And Mandy is a 42-year-old mum of three amazing kids who are aged 15, 13, and 10. And Mandy is a wife of 19 years to her best friend, Stephen, and both teachers who have been in the classroom for almost 20 years. And they enjoy life on a house and 3 acres in Northern California where they grow their own fruit and vegetables and run some chickens. And Mandy was first introduced in 2015 to intermittent fasting by a co-worker. And at the time, she thought that was completely crazy. And then in 2022, she revisited it, and the rest, as they say, is history, as we'll hear in the podcast. So here to tell her story today is the amazing Mandy Ponte. Oh, g'day, Mandy, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Graham. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure to have you here all the way there from Northern California, and you're a very inspiring member of our Facebook community as well. But Mandy, for those out there listening around the world that may not know about you or your story, if you wouldn't mind just filling them in with a bit of the backstory and sort of any problems you had with health or weight in your life and what actually led you to finding intermittent fasting.
Okay, well, I'd love to. So I am 42 years old. I have 3 beautiful children, 15, 13, and 10, and a husband of almost 20 years. And as a teenager, as a young adult growing up, I didn't feel the struggles with my weight. It wasn't until I started having my children that the weight sort of started to stick. I would gain some weight with each of my pregnancies, and then I would lose the weight quite a bit as I was nursing my babies. But then as soon as I was done with that, the weight started to sort of creep back up. And with each of my pregnancies, I just had that weight just, it continued to just kind of come on and come on and come on. My mindset during or in between my pregnancies was to run, get as much exercise as I could. I joined gyms and unjoin gyms and join different gyms and try different things, thinking that exercise was the way that I was going to take that baby weight off. And it worked for a while in my 20s and early 30s, that, you know, eat less, move more, that kind of strategy. It worked for me in some ways. But as I approached 40 and I was done having my babies, my weight just continued to increase. And as my kids got older and were more involved in sports and activities, it was hard for me to maintain a weight where I felt comfortable. So I kind of hovered in the 150s, 160s, and then the pandemic happened. And in 2020, everything shut down. I'm a teacher. My husband's a teacher. I've got three kids, so we were all at home. I was 5 feet from my fridge. It was a stressful time. We were finding a lot of comfort in baking and making treats. And I love to cook, so cooking. The gym where I had been attending shut down, so I lost that social aspect, which I enjoy with my workouts. And things just really, they started to pile on. I was finding comfort in food. I was finding comfort in the Starbucks drive-thru. I was finding, you know, in places where I wasn't getting it in other parts of my life because of the pandemic. It started to really, my weight issues started to seep into other parts of my life too. My relationship with my husband, how I felt about myself. And so I think it was near the end of 2021, things were starting to open back up a little bit. My kids' sports schedule started to open back up again, and we were starting to be more busy. And I thought that if I maybe could train for another half marathon. I had been a half marathon runner in the past, and I thought, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to be what brings that weight down. So I trained on top of all, you know, heading back to work, going back to in-person learning in the classroom, my kids all going back to school, all of their activities starting up again. I trained for this half marathon. And I did find a joy in running again. I really did. And I enjoyed the process of running, of training for the half marathon. And the half marathon rolled around in March of 2022. And I finished. It was in Napa. So it was it was a beautiful location for a race, rolling hills. I finished and I felt good. But when I got my race photos back a couple weeks after the race, I looked at myself in those photos. It was a catalyst moment for me. I guess some of your guests talk about that moment where they realize there has to be a change. And I saw the photos of me and I thought that the photos of me did not portray the pride that I felt when I finished that race. And all I could see was how unhealthy I looked on the outside. So fast forward a few more weeks. So we're into April of 2022. I sprained my ankle. And so now not only was I not feeling great about how I looked on the outside, I then lost what I thought was kind of keeping me somewhat healthy. I lost the ability to run. And so I kind of sat on the couch. I felt sorry for myself. And, you know, I I had to continue on with my life. I had to keep teaching. I had to keep taking my kids to sports, but I wasn't then able to exercise at all. Mid-May, I had a conversation with my husband and he said, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing about what's going on? What's going on? He could tell I had kind of just, I had lost any kind of spark for anything. I was tired. I felt defeated. We had a long talk about, you know, he's my greatest supporter and also my worst critic sometimes, but that's a good balance to have. And he said, can I help you? What can we do? And I didn't have an answer for him at that time. I didn't know what I needed to do. I just knew I needed to do something. So I can't remember how I came across intermittent fasting in that moment in mid-May of 2022. It could have been an Instagram ad. It could have been one of the weight loss programs that are out there right now. I have no idea. But I thought, you know, exercise hasn't served me well. My diet needs to be better. And so maybe something like this, I've never tried it before. Maybe something like this could be the answer. So I Googled it. And, you know, when you Google intermittent fasting, Dr. Jason Fung comes up. And I watched a YouTube video with his refrigerator and freezer analogy where he talks about if your body is a refrigerator and you keep putting food into that refrigerator and you never dip into that freezer, then you're never dipping into those fat stores. And something about that analogy really just clicked with me. It made sense. It made sense. And that sent me down the rabbit hole of research and the science behind insulin resistance. And my brain just started to explode with all the information that I was finding out. So I decided to just jump in. I was sold from that just few pieces of research that I read. And so I believe it was May 28th, I had just finished the school year. I thought summertime, this is a great time to start something. I started fasting. I did not tell anyone because sometimes that can be a sabotage for me. If I tell someone I'm starting something new and then it doesn't work, then it's like, ah. So I started May 28th and I was a crazy person and I just didn't eat all day long. I went until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that first fast was about a 20-hour fast. And then I broke my fast. I felt good all day. But I have to tell you, Graham, I was not clean fasting. And I can get to that part of the story. I was not clean fasting yet. That took a couple more weeks. So for a few days, I did kind of a 20-hour fast. And then I would break my fast with a snack and then have dinner with my family. And after about the third day, I thought, you know, this is feeling pretty good. This is feeling different than anything I had ever tried before. So on the third day, I told my family. I was sitting eating, I think I was eating like a banana and some peanut butter. And I told my family it was the first thing I'd had to eat since the dinner the night before. And my kids kind of thought I was crazy at first. Of course, they're growing kids and they snack and they eat and they thought not eating breakfast or lunch. They just thought that was wild. My husband was intrigued by it, but thought there was no way he could ever do something like that. And so he said, good for you. You know, I'm glad that you think you might have found something that might work for you. So I just kept going. From that moment that I started on May 28th, I have not missed a single day of fasting. The summer months off of work were easier than I thought they would be. I kept myself busy. I listened to your podcast. So I wasn't clean fasting at first because Dr. Jason Fung, there's, you know, the idea of putting a little bit of cream in your coffee. And I was a hot milkshake girl, as Jen Stevens says. So it was going through the Starbucks drive-thru 3 days a week and making my coffee at home, which was more cream and syrup than it was coffee. And so, sipping it all day. I liked cold brew and I would put a ton of, you know, creamer and junk in it. So when I first started fasting and I had gotten the message that, okay, you could put a little cream in your coffee and it's okay. And I thought, oh, okay. All right. But then I found your podcast and you were my first intermittent fasting podcast that I started listening to. And that was about a week and a half to 2 weeks into my IF journey. And you started talking about the clean fast and about this woman named Jin. And I'm like, who's this person? So, as I listened to each of your podcasts, I would listen to three or four a day. I was trying to catch up. By that point, you'd had probably over 100 episodes. So I was trying to catch up and you were giving that message about the clean fast. And at first I was resistant because I loved my cream and my coffee. But I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, why would I do it? Why would I do this halfway? Why would I do it halfway? What do I have to lose? Let's just try it. So those first couple days of black coffee were disgusting. I said, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. However, I stuck with it. I got to be more of a coffee snob. I started grinding my own beans over the summer. We got a amazing coffee maker, and slowly but surely the black, I got the taste for that black coffee, and I didn't need to have coffee or caffeine all day. I had my one cup of coffee in the morning, sitting out on my porch reading a book, enjoying that one cup, and I had energy throughout the entire day. I didn't need to have my afternoon pick-me-up of more caffeine. Or once the clean fast started for me, I was rolling. And those 20-hour fasts became easier and easier and easier. In the month of June, I started in May. So the month of June, I lost 10 pounds. In July, I lost 10 pounds. In August, I lost 10 pounds. All the way through the summer, I just maintained that 10-pound weight loss. And every time I would step on the scale, my eyes would pop. Like the weight just continued to come off. And when I went back to work, it slowed a little bit, but that also could have been just because I was approaching more of what I thought was my goal weight. So in the months of September and October, I lost 5 or 6 more pounds each month. And then in October, towards the end of October, I actually hit what I thought was my goal weight. I had seen a driver's license of mine back when I was a teenager, and it said 135 pounds on it. And I thought, oh, no way I'm going to get all the way back down to that weight, but I'll, you know, whatever, I'll set it as a goal. So in October, I hit that weight and I thought, well, maybe I'm not done. Maybe I don't know, maybe I'll keep going. So I just stayed consistent with basically an OMAD style. On the weekends, I love to cook. So on weekends, I would make a brunch for my family. And if I was still hungry, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, I might have a dinner. but pretty consistently a 20-hour fast from May all the way to today, where I am now. And right now I'm at 126 pounds.
Fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. What a great backstory that is. You know, you mentioned there Jason Fung talking about that, and I just wanted to clarify that, because what Jason's talking about there is he's dealing with patients in his clinic in Toronto that are 400, 500, 600 pounds. And these are people that are going to die if they don't lose weight, right? So he would rather see them put a bit of cream or something in their coffee if it gets them through the fast, and it's like a crutch for them. Because what he's saying is that he'd rather see them do that than not fast at all. He's talking about severely morbidly obese people. But then what he also talks about in his research is that the ideal thing is to keep that fast as pure as possible, or what we term the clean fast, and be able to give our organs a rest from digestion and give them a chance to regenerate our cells and autotrophy, which Jason talks about a lot as well. So there needs to be a bit of clarification around that, that is actually the best way to fast is clean fasting, no doubt about it in my mind. Everything I've seen, researched, I've, you know, talked to 160 people on this podcast now, mentored dozens more, and the difference that they've found between the clean fasting and dirty fasting is undeniable, because it does make their fast easier, and they're not white knuckling, they're not thinking that more food's coming, they're not getting super hungry during their fast, and they're just making that easier. So I'm really glad you found that early, Mandy. So let's talk about that protocol when you started now. And was there any particular reason why you did chose that one, or was it just around life in general?
You know, I knew you would ask me this question, and I don't honestly know. I think I just thought, let's just try this OMAD thing that I had Google searched and seen, you know, that this was a particular type of intermittent fasting. And I knew that I wanted to keep dinner time with my family. And so the window of opening a, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon with a small snack, something to break my fast, and then preparing dinner for my family. And we usually try to eat by 5-ish, because my kiddos are off to sports and off to their own, doing their own things. So it just seemed to work. And since my kids are older, I'm not preparing the breakfasts and the lunches. And so it just seemed to make sense that they could be left on their own for those meals. And then we would come together as a family. So I think that's really why I started with that protocol. And then when I headed back to work as a teacher, I didn't bring food to work. And yeah, I think you say a lot, making food scarce. And man, it's been freedom to wake up, not have to prepare a breakfast before I rush all my kids out the door, not having to figure out what I'm going to prepare for my lunch. You know, am I going to bring something that I'll have to heat up? Am I going to, you know, and then will I need an afternoon snack? I mean, it's just been complete freedom to not have to worry about food for the majority of the day. Yeah.
I agree with that. And yeah, I was the same really when I started. There was no real reason why I started where I did. I just knew that I got home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon from work, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just fast and then I'll have something to eat in the evening. I got that message from the clean fast straight away from Jin's material. And like you, people have different reactions when they first hear about intermittent fasting. I remember Googling it like you did, and I saw this thing, OMAD, one meal a day, and I thought, who eats once a day? That's kind of crazy. Are they nutcases or what? Is that some sort of cult? All these things went through my mind. I thought, what sort of weirdos do this? Is there like a communion somewhere you go and join and you eat once a day, and the rest of the day you're out working in the paddocks? How does this all work? And anyway, I decided to do more research, and that's how I did discover Jin and Delay Don't Deny, and I read that, and then the light bulb went on, and you know, and further sort of things that I found out about IF, but just generally it suited life. You've got to do this to suit your life. And I think when you do choose a protocol, do one that suits your life. Like if you're a busy mum like you are, you know, maybe choose one that's around your kids' sort of schooling hours or something like that that works and works for you, where you can sit down and have an evening meal like you do with your family. And your OMAD, just to talk about that for people listening, one meal a day lifestyle. A lot of people get confused that one meal a day is often just one big plate of food. That's OPAD. That's one plate a day. Whereas OMAD is like a typical meal for a lot of us, where we'll go to a restaurant, we'll have a starter, and then in a little while we might have a main, and if we feel like it, we might have a dessert, and then we leave the restaurant. Similar thing to what we're doing. Is that the sort of style that you're doing, Mandy, that restaurant sort of style OMAD?
Yes, that is exactly what I do. I usually open my window with some healthy fats. I might have some olives, some avocado, whatever kind of fruits or veggies we've got going on out here on our property. And then that kind of once I break my fast, then I feel really good as I'm preparing a meal. I found it hard to, sometimes I would come home and go straight into preparing dinner because of busy schedules. And it was tougher because I wanted to taste the food, or I wanted to, you know, I felt a little like, oh, kind of on edge about it. So breaking my fast with that small little snack just has been perfect. Then I really can enjoy the process of cooking. Doing OMAD has just reignited my passion for cooking, for preparing meals, for meal planning, because I'm thinking in my head, if I am just eating this one meal, I want it to be amazing. I want it to be amazing. So my family has benefited from my OMAD protocol, because they, you know, every night they're sitting down like, wow, mom, this is better than a restaurant. Mom, this is, you know, this is the best thing I've ever eaten. And so I feel like that the OMAD protocol just has, like you said, it suited me really well. It suits my family's lifestyle. If I'm hungry after I eat my dinner, I will close with some Greek yogurt, maybe a little few pecans on top, maybe some berries. But I find that the longer that I continued with OMAD, that appetite correction has really started to kick in. And there are days when I feel that sigh come on as I'm finishing my meal, and I think, okay, I'm done. I don't need to have anything else in my window. I don't have a real set time that I close, but I like to close at least a few hours before I head to bed. So usually my window's closed by about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at the latest. And then it's just repeat, right?
That's it. Repeat the next day. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And pretty much the same as you, really. I enjoy that OMAD style. As I've said many times, I've never been thought about extended fasting. Or the problem with ADF and stuff like that for me is that for myself and my how I think is that the longer I'm not having food, and then if I was doing a 36 or a 42-hour fast, I would find that I'd get pretty hungry, right? That's just me personally. I'm not having to go at anybody out there that does this, and I know it works for a lot of people, but for me, it wouldn't work because I would get to the point where I'd be so hungry, I would want to eat something. And if I did the 500-calorie thing, then what would happen is I would find that's not enough, and then I would be continuously hungry after that. So for me, it'd be all or nothing. Either I'd have a day where I didn't eat and then an update and so forth as people do that. So have you ever done any extended fasting, or has it all been OMAD?
It has pretty much all been OMAD. I have accidentally, just in the busyness of my mom life, I have done a 24 where I've gone like the entire day, a 24 or a 26-hour fast, but I've never gone where I've had an entire day where I've had nothing to eat. it's intriguing to me, and I enjoy hearing people's success with ADF and extended fasting. But like you, I love to eat every day. I love the experience of it. And it's important to my family. I mean, I've got a kid who's almost headed to college in a couple years, and having that family meal around the table is priceless to me. So I do enjoy eating every day. Yeah. And I guess if my weight, I don't know, if I felt like I had a weight loss stall, it might be something I might try to mix it up a little bit. That's the great thing about IF is it's just so flexible, and
yeah,
you can tweak it and change it and try different things.
You can. And, you know, it's like ADF, there's EF, ADF, extended fasting, alternate day fasting, all sorts of protocols, 23-1, 16-8. You've got to find your own niche. And, you know, some people enjoy ADF and they love it and they get a lot of benefits from it. There's a lot of scientific information, helps with autophagy, helps with people that have lost weight and they find that they've got loose skin and helps with that sort of thing as well. Just for me personally, I find OMAD always worked for me when I was getting the weight off, and it works well for me maintaining my weight as well. But never say never. I may do some longer fasts in the future just for the health benefits and that sort of thing. But right now where I'm at, 3.5 years into maintenance, I've been in a goal range of 4 to 6 pounds. I've stayed there. And, you know, if it gets up the top of that range, I'll wind it back in. If it gets down the below range, I'll just broaden things out. And that's how I sort of recalibrate that sort of thing. And for me, maintenance is just vigilance without obsession now. I don't really think about the fasting so much. I just think about when I eat, and I just eat what makes me feel my greatest, and I try to stay in that range and add some movement and exercise and that sort of thing. But let's talk about that. I mean, people talk about fasting being easy and all that sort of stuff, but you mentioned there, you know, when you first started, was there any of the struggles for you? Was there something you missed? Was there a social aspect you missed? I mean, school teachers, canteen, all that sort of stuff, meeting rooms, a lot of food floating around there. Did you miss all that sort of stuff with your colleagues, or because of COVID, you weren't sort of in that environment at the time?
So we had, I think what I missed at first was my Starbucks coffees. Honestly, I think I missed that. I was used to having a coffee on the way to work, or a coffee, you know, taking my kids out, keeping me warm while they were on the soccer field, or keeping me cool while they were on a soccer field in the summer. And but I realized that the amount of sugar I was putting in my body, the insulin response I was getting as I sipped on those drinks all day long is what got me to where, really what got me to where I was. Otherwise, I prepared pretty healthy meals for my family. We were busy, so sometimes they were more packaged meals, off and on from COVID to 2022, just with busyness and craziness. But it was the sugary drinks that was doing it for me. So at first, giving it up was tough. And then slowly, as I didn't head through that drive-through, or I didn't call in my mobile order to Starbucks, and I started preparing my own coffee at home, my black coffee, those kind of cravings, and it was more the habit of it that just I needed to kick that habit. Snacking also was a habit that I didn't realize how many times I walked into my kitchen and would just, you know, grab a handful of something from my fridge, or okay, my daughter's sitting down for a snack, I'll sit down and have something with her too. Like all of those between meal snacks that were kind of, I realized later, it was kind of mindless eating that I didn't realize until I stopped what kind of a habit it had become. So it did take I would say a month or so to really like break that habit of wanting to snack and tasting the food, even as I, like, if I were preparing a lunch for my kids, like tasting the food and not, you know, not doing that. So those are my struggles at first, I think. They were all food related. Yeah.
Yeah, they usually are. And I mean, I take my hat off to you. I mean, you're so many double whammies there. I mean, you're a school teacher. You're working in the pandemic. You're working at home. You're doing online lessons. You've got three young kids there, 15, 13, 10, busy mum. Man, it's a lot of pressure. And then you're doing something that's a total rewire of the way you've taught to eat, everything about nutrition thrown out the window, about how we're told how many times a day we've got to eat. Breakfast is the most important part of the day. But, you know, you're right about the beverages, because people misunderstand how much damage a beverage can do, you know, particularly in your eating window. If you get fast all day and you, say, have two or three sodas, or you go to the drive-thru and you might order a frozen Coke or something like that, 27 teaspoons of sugar in a frozen Coke. Mm. So you imagine sitting there with a teaspoon going like that, you know, one, two, three, four. And if there's a good visual, think about that visual. When you go in there, think about that. But unfortunately, they don't have on that board, this contains 27 teaspoons of sugar. They'll say some weird sort of numbers and all that about how many kilojoules per whatever. But if they actually had icons of all how many teaspoons of sugar or each of those drinks or eat all the food, people would think twice about having. Because once you have the knowledge, you have the power. And then you had the knowledge, you learnt about it. I mean, you're a school teacher, you soak up learning, so you understood now what was in them. And you said to yourself, I know why I had a weight problem. It was like me. I knew why I had a weight problem. It was all the fast food and sugar I was consuming. And once I understood that I was having up to 100 teaspoons of sugar a day in what I was eating and drinking, then it became apparent that I had to change. I was a sugar addict. No two ways about it. And I think even if you have just a standard breakfast and you wake up in the morning, like I used to do, I'd have a couple of orange juices, I'd be reading the paper, I'd have a couple of coffees. Well, just from those beverages, the orange juice and the coffee, I was having like 20 teaspoons of sugar before I left the house. And the World Health Organization is telling us to have 8 as a man for the whole day. That's everything. And you're going, wow. And then once I learned all that, yeah, life became much easier for me. But let's talk about the non-scale victories now, or the health benefits that we get from this. What are some of those that have happened for you, Mandy?
Oh, my goodness. So many. So I think the one that came on first was more energy. I was used to just crashing in the afternoon, coming home from work, coming home on a Friday and, you know, having no energy to prepare dinner, just, asleep by 7, even during the day, just feeling sluggish. And that was almost an instantaneous NSV for me. The energy just came whooshing out for me. I also sleep so much better, which could be the fact that I've kicked sugar out almost completely. That could have made a big difference as well, but my sleep has really improved. I struggled with really severe eczema from the time I was a little girl, and would have steroid creams and cortisone shots, and I would try everything. My eczema is completely gone. Still kind of boggles my mind. I look down, I look at my hands, I look at my knees, everywhere I had eczema, and just gone. The mental clarity is another NSV. As a teacher, you know, you've got 28 bodies in the room and you've got to be on at all times. And this school year, as my first school year really fasting, I just feel that mental clarity. I'm not eating lunch. And so when I come back into the classroom, I don't have that little slump after eating my lunch. And I'm able to really focus and get done what I need to get done during the school day. Food freedom, just not having to think about food and make decisions about food. I focus on what delicious meal I'm going to cook each evening, and then I'm done. Mindful eating is another one. I don't know. I probably heard it on one of your podcasts, or maybe one of Jen's podcasts, that sitting down, turning off distractions, no cell phone, no TV, nothing, just sitting and eating at your table and mindfully enjoying the food that's in front of you is something that I started back in when I began IF, and I've continued it with every meal I have, whether it's a snack or whether it's my main meal or whether it's closing my window. I have no distractions while I'm eating, not even a book to read. I just want to focus on the food going into my body and being mindful. And it helps me know when I'm full, which has been huge, just knowing when to stop. I have an inner calm. I think my children would be able to tell you this too, and my husband, that I feel like I'm in a better mood all day long. I have so much more patience with my students, with my own children, with my husband. IF has just really just calmed me. Better eating choices is another one that I cleaned up my sugar, my hot milkshakes, and my Starbucks coffee, but then I also cleaned it up for my whole family. And sometimes my kids want to rebel a little bit on that, but I just tell them I can't unknow what I know. I know all the research now, and I know the damage that sugars, processed foods, all of that can cause. And so I try to put that into everything that I prepare for my family. I do all the shopping, so everything I bring home. I can't control what they eat outside, but I can do that at home for them. And another big one, one more big one, my immune system. I have not been sick a single time since I started fasting. And I have been in a classroom with runny noses and coughing, and then my own kids coming home and being sick. And I have been healthy the entire time, which has been huge, huge.
Yeah, I agree with you. And same for me. When I was obese, I used to get sick 5, 6, 7 times a year. I'd be in bed at least a couple of days. You know, during that time, I'm pretty crook. And since I've been doing fasting, I can't remember last time I had a cold. Fortunately, I haven't had COVID yet. My wife got it, and I never got it. And I traveled to New Zealand twice in the last few months, and planes and airports, and avoided it. But I don't know if that's got anything to do with I know it's not anything to do with fasting per se, but it's definitely got something to do with my immune system being much better, because I used to catch everything. Every time there was a cold going around or a heavy flu, I would get it. And I don't now, and that's it. And I'd love to hear you talk about your eczema and that. Same as me, you probably heard me talk about psoriasis, completely falling off my body after 6 months of fasting, and I had it for 20 years. I'd seen specialists. They said it's got nothing to do with your diet. It's just who you are. It's in your DNA. It's, you know, all your makeup, genetic makeup, all of this. But no one in my family ever had psoriasis, and I was getting the wrong information. And I really think that it was sugar. I really think that, because once I started getting the sugar out of my body, like you, the eczema started going away. And I say to anybody out there that's having problems with eczema, give it a go. Give fasting a go and really get that sugar out of your system and see what happens. Because I've heard it too many times now. Just heard you say it. You've heard me say it. I heard Daniel Keeley, Buckley talk about it. Had it all over her scalp, down the back of her neck, down her legs, completely vanished. Unbelievable. So, you know, if enough people are saying that, then there's probably some evidence to say to give it a try. But I definitely think it was a combination of the weight loss and the sugar that got rid of the psoriasis for sure off my body. I've no doubt about that. And fasting certainly helps, because you're regenerating those skin cells and you get taking that trash out every day. But I think it's fantastic. But a couple of things you said in your story that resonated with me too, going back to that catalyst moment when you first started and you saw that picture of yourself in the marathon. I think that's one of the ones you sent me. And you looked at that and you thought to yourself, that's not how I want to see myself at the end of a half marathon. That's not how I felt at that point in time. That's not who I am. And I used to feel like that too every time I saw a picture of myself. I thought, I used to always think, oh, you know, I don't feel too bad. I don't look too bad. And then, boom, you get a picture in something, a Facebook memory or something. You'd go, oh, my God, do I really look like that? And that's a real catalyst moment. I think for many of us that happens, doesn't it? But I'm really glad that that sort of helped you get started on your journey, because sometimes we do need a shock, you know, and to get going. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, you mentioned about relationships and, you know, how our weight sort of can dictate that at times. And it's so true, because when you're unhappy about stuff, it really filters into our relationships and how we interact with our kids and our family. And my family and my wife, they all say to me, you're much more calmer now as a person. You're much more measured. You know, you don't get agitated about things. You don't get anxious when we mention we're going to an event or something. You're just really calm about it. And I think that word you talked about, that inner peace feeling, I think that's something I really love. And the other thing I wanted to just sort of resonate with you a bit here is that preparation of that food. For me, it's like a theatrical experience now, where you sit down and you start with that, you know, opener. Then it's the preparation of that beautiful meal you're going to have. And for me, if I'm going to fast all day, it's going to be good. It's going to be something worthy eating, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to mindfully, slowly, just like you. And I think that's something that fasting teaches us. It teaches us more appreciation of good food. And I think we eventually, most of us, become food snobs. Not all, but most of us. Do you agree with that? You become a food snob?
Absolutely become a food snob. Yes, absolutely. If it is not window worthy, I will not eat it. I will politely refuse or choose a different time to eat. But yes, I've always loved to cook and prepare meals, but IF just has reinvigorated that. And I'm experimenting with different types of foods. We'll have, you know, Indian food, Greek food, Asian inspired foods. My repertoire of what I can cook has increased. And yeah, if it's not window worthy, I'm not putting it in my mouth. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And of course, as we heard in the intro there, you live in Northern California, some of the most fertile soils in the world, and you live on a small acreage property, so you're able to grow quite a bit of your own food. So just run us through a bit of that.
Oh, okay. So yes, we live on almost 3 acres. When we moved to the property, there was a small orchard. So we have grapes, figs, oranges, apples, peaches. And then my husband is quite the gardener, and he's gone ahead and planted plums and apricots and more figs, blackberries. And then we have a small garden with tomatoes, peppers, onions, kind of whatever we're feeling like for that season. And then we also have, I think the count right now is 18 chickens. So we're getting, you know, 4, 5, 6 fresh eggs every day. And it's rewarding to be able to grow your own food, bring it into the kitchen, prepare a beautiful meal. And then I, you know, tell my family, oh, this, you know, this is from our garden. This part's from our garden. This part, you know, it's a beautiful way to live. I feel lucky that we're able to have the space to do that.
Yeah, same here. We live on an acreage property. We grow a lot of our own vegetables and salads. We just go down, pick it off, fresh, mm-hmm. tomatoes, great in the summer. You know, my wife's a fantastic gardener, and like your husband there, and she's got the green thumb, and we enjoy that, you know, and the chickens and all the rest of it. And I think that's a not only an idyllic lifestyle, but I wanted to point out too, you don't have to have 3 acres to grow your own food. I mean, a lot of people have apartments where they just have a little, you know, tub sitting out in the balcony where they can grow some, you know, some salads or whatever it may be, or something that they can just go and pick off and have with their dinner. So you don't always need a huge amount of room there. But you mentioned there that you're sort of getting towards that maintenance stage now. What's your plans for that? I mean, it's a totally different mindset, maintaining, as I talked about, vigilance without obsession, I call it. Have you sort of thought about that? What are you going to do there?
I have, and I am not sure. I'm not sure if I am there. I guess at this point, I don't know if I'm there yet. I'm consistently still losing 5 or 6 pounds a month. And I guess I'll know when I'm there. I'm 5'3", so I'm pretty short. And the weight I am now, I think I was this weight when I got married. I'm not sure I've been lower than this weight. So this may be maintenance. I hope that when I get to the point where I feel like this is it, or my body gets to the point where this is it, that all of the intuitive eating practice that I've had over the last many months, all of the knowledge about myself that I've gained, that hopefully I'll be able to kind of slide into that maintenance time and just be able to really eat intuitively and just enjoy this lifestyle for the rest of my life. I will never eat or live in any other way.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel that way once we find it, for sure. But just refresh me, what was the total weight loss since May again for you?
So I have lost 53
pounds since May. That's incredible, isn't it? When you think about it, some 7 months, you know, you're nearly averaging sort of 7-8 pounds a month. That's fantastic.
Yes.
And I think you'll know when you know. That's what happens. I think with me, it was more like it's a set point, I call it, where your body just sort of says to you, you know, hey, you're here. And I say to people, don't fight it. Like, don't try to say to yourself, I need to lose that last 5 or 10 pounds, whatever. And you just said, you're the same weight as when you got married. You look great. Your husband probably looks at you and think, wow, look at you, you know. And he just loves it and all of that. So don't stress about you need to lose another 5 or 10 pounds and it's not happening, because maybe you've got to that set point. Your body's just saying to you, hey, you know what, Mandy, we're really cool around here now. You look good. Everything's groovy. You're the same weight as you got married. Let's be happy and just enjoy ourselves here and just have a nice maintenance lifestyle and just stay in a goal range. And I always say to people, my advice for maintenance is pick a goal range, not a goal weight. Because when you pick a goal weight, you get consumed by a number. Like if you said, I'm going to do 140 or whatever it may be, 135, then you get consumed by that particular number. And every time you stand on the scales and you're not that number, it will play with your head. Whereas if you say to yourself, okay, I'm happy with a 3 or 4 pound range, I mean, you're a slightly built person, so your range will probably be lower than mine. I'm a big, tall guy, 6'5", so my range is, you know, 4 to 6, 8 pounds. It's okay. I'll rein it back in if it gets up, and then I'll broaden it out if it gets down too low. So you'll know when you know is what I'm trying to say with the set point. And I'd say to people, just don't fight it and don't sort of say to yourself, oh, I've got to get another 5 pounds off. I've got to get another 5 pounds off. Just be happy where you are. If your body's settled there and you're not losing again, different story when you've still got a lot of weight to lose and you strike those plateaus. And like you said, you can do something like ADF or something to try and break that, or just change up your protocols and mix it around. But yeah, when you're in maintenance, just keep that sort of in mind about the goal range. But you've been so super inspiring today, Mandy, and as school teachers around the world have been during this pandemic, and I just wanted to give them a big shout out and thank you guys for all the work you've done for our children right around the world, keeping some form of normality and structure in their lives. And I think teachers have played a huge part through this pandemic. So thank you all. So if you were sitting in a cafe there up in Northern California with a bunch of friends or some school friends, teachers, and they said, hey, Mandy, you're looking really great. Can you tell us how to get started with IF? You got any words of wisdom? What would you tell them?
I would pr- Well, I have done this, so I have experience with this because I'm a talker. I don't lead with intermittent fasting, but if someone approaches me, a coworker or a friend, and says, "Hey, whoa, what are you doing? Are you okay?" Then I will tell them. And I think the piece of advice that I give to people is to just try it. Just try it. You don't have to jump in with a, 23-in-1 protocol, but just try skipping breakfast. Try eliminating those snacks. Have that time-restricted eating where you're enjoying a meal or two, and then you're done. And I think it's something that Jen Stevens says. She says, just stop stopping. And, just try it and keep going with it. And the clean fast is huge. I always make sure I tell people to clean fast and to remember that every day is a new day. What I love about fasting is that every day is a day when I get that beautiful bit of rest where my body is not having to digest food. And then I enjoy a wonderful meal. And then my body gets to rest and repair and process all that food that I ate for the next day. So I think consistency is something I have lacked in my life prior to finding IF. I would start a diet, stop a diet. Start an exercise regimen, stop an exercise regimen. And IF has been so consistent in my life for these 7.5, 8 months that I do know that it will be something for life. And so there's no reason to, beat yourself up if you have a day when you didn't make great eating choices, or maybe you didn't fast as long as you wanted to. Just remember every day is a new day. And if you're consistent and you keep going and you clean fast, you can find success.
Yeah, fantastic advice. Yeah, just start slowly and be consistent. Give it 6 to 12 months minimum before you reassess it. And just see where it takes you. And like you said, it is a pretty simple process. In the form, it is like, you're fasting and you're feasting. So you break the day down into two, you're doing that. But the mental challenge is quite different at times, and that mindset. You strike me as a person that's got an incredible mindset. So the mental part, did that play a big sort of slice of the pie, if you like, in this journey for you, the mental side of it?
It did. Like I said, consistency is something I've struggled with my whole adult life. And a lot of it was mental. I don't know if I was self-sabotaging, or I just kind of fell back into old habits, or I would tell myself this is like a treat I deserve, so I would go get it. I don't know what it was, but the mental aspect of it was something that I always struggled with. I have never felt more mentally in control of myself than I have with IF. And in a time when I'm busy being a mom, full-time teacher, full-time wife, all of that, it was easy for me to kind of feel out of control. And IF has given that back to me. I know that every day that I fast, that is something consciously I am doing for myself and for my body and for my peace of mind. So it was like I don't know if it was a switch that just got turned on in my brain with IF, but that the mental struggles that I had in the past with staying consistent just have...
Yeah, I think IF gives us that structure, doesn't it? And you just become so consistent, like you said, and it is a repetitive thing, wash, rinse, repeat, if you like. Mm-hmm. And for me, it just became something that I do every day. I don't even think about it now, you know, nearly 5 years into this. And I wake up, I don't think about fasting. I don't think, oh, I'm fasting now. I just do what I do. And then I know that I eat later in the day. And one of the things that happens in life, and sometimes you do things differently in maintenance, is I've just been away for a couple of days with some buddies, and I was a bit out of whack, you know, so I was eating at different times of the day and eating more and probably drinking more alcohol than I have in some time. And it really threw me out. And in terms of mentally, I was sitting there thinking, I'm enjoying this with my buddies and the time that I'm having, but I'm not actually enjoying the structure of the food and the alcohol and the way it makes me feel now. And that's the difference. And I think you learn that. And sometimes when you do that for a day or two, it really reminds you of what that was like before when you were doing it all the time. And I think that sometimes gives us such a great reminder, and it really reaffirms our lifestyle. For me, I sort of said to my wife, it's a bit like renewing your wedding vows, if you like, because you come back to fasting after a couple of days and you think, wow, this is great, I'm back, you know. And yeah, but it's a great lifestyle for sure. And I just wanted to give your husband a shout out too for supporting you. Thanks, mate. Thanks for really supporting your wife. We need more husbands doing that. You're an amazing man, and thank you so much. But Mandy, as I said, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today, but thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you, Graham. It was a pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Mandy. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you. What an inspiring journey you've had. And losing that 25 kilos plus or some 50 pounds plus in such a short time is a fantastic achievement, and I congratulate you on your success. We look forward to catching up with you in the future. Anyway, folks, also as mentioned there in the podcast, if you are interested in my own story, you can get that in my book, The Fasting Highway. You'll find that on Amazon if you are in Australia or New Zealand. You want to get started on the new year with your intermittent fasting journey, and you want to get some inspiration, you can get my book directly at the website www.fastinghighway.com. Anyway, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.